was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
The droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeder's fueled. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Solo Sound Network. Here are your hosts for the snarkiest podcast in Star Wars and geek culture, Brian and Nancy.
From the outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Nancy.
Hello!
We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. Right here at the top, we're going to have to say this episode is probably going to be a fair amount more brief than what we're usually at, unfortunately. I'm gearing up to head to a convention on Wednesday, and Nancy, I believe you are doing a guest spot tomorrow with Star Wars Beyond the Films.
I am. I'll be recording tomorrow night with Kelly, another friend on Twitter.
She's one of the big shiny robot writers, right?
Yes, she is. And we're going to be discussing women in Star Wars.
Oh, that'll be a good one.
I know something about that.
I think you might. Just maybe. You might have written a word or two about that in the past.
I may have.
So, we apologize for what's very likely going to be a brief episode this week, but fear not. We're going to be back next week with a full-length episode featuring something very special, which we'll get to shortly. One other little bit of housekeeping. As a reminder, our Replace Mara's cat suit contest. I'm stumbling all over myself there. It's not a very easy title to get out.
You came up with it.
I know. But yes, the Replace Mara's cat suit contest. We have extended the deadline to August 15th because we realized, giving costumers 1 month to get a costume put together, that's not very nice.
No, I don't think they like that, so
no,
we're giving
no,
them and several months.
Yes, we'll give you several months because we kind of figure some of you might be going to a convention or two. I don't know, maybe that one in Orlando, something about Star Wars, something about a celebration.
Yes.
So, yes, if you need a little more incentive to work in a costumes for Celebration 6, you could win some prizes from us. If you replace Mara's cat suit with something functional, awesome, and not utterly demeaning.
Prettier.
Yeah. The bar is really low to clear right now. It's really, really low.
Yes, because even with that forest green outfit, that one's kind of ugly too.
Oh, the shoulder pads. I'm not a big fashion person, but even I recognize those shoulder pads were not very aesthetically pleasing.
Yes.
So, Nancy, what is new on the blog since we last recorded, which was only a couple of days ago?
Well, we received another two Replace the Catsuit entries from Victoria. There are two drawings, one of Mara in flight gear with Luke, which I am especially fond of, and another picture of her in sort of a formal gown that could have been used for her Jedi wedding. I like that one a lot because I've always been of the opinion that Mara liked to get dressed up from time to time. Because she did grow up in the Imperial Palace. She grew up around court, so I think that she would know how to dress well and would appreciate the finer things in life, like would.
Yeah, well, Mara would recognize the utility of a jacket with pockets and things like that, but she probably also likes to get dressed up like anyone does.
Yeah, so I liked both of those because they were both functional and pretty. And we received our first costume of the contest from Blizz, and this was based on her look at the end of The Last Command graphic novel, yet with a jacket to be a lot more functional than just the catsuit. And it looks similar to the image that is I believe it's in the Essential Guide to the Force, the image of Luke giving her his lightsaber, and she's got a jacket on there, too, so it looks more functional and practical.
And again, functional, so, it's such an important concept.
Yeah, so thanks to Victoria and Liz for your entries. We appreciate that, and we hope to get some more. We also asked for your snarky thoughts on what the new Star Wars video game that Lucasfilm will be announcing at E3 might be. From the entries, it seems like people don't really know what to expect for this game and are pretty much keeping expectations low.
It pains me to say it, but LucasArts has not had a very good run the last 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, but we'll see. I mean, they could, you know, shock us all and do something like post Return of the Jedi and like New Jedi Order or something awesome like that, but they probably won't.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath for that. I don't think you should either. But we should be hearing about that game this week. We'll get a concept trailer from Spike and more details next week at this year's E3 Expo.
Yes, and Shane chimed in on the stagnation of technology in Star Wars, which is an interesting topic. I know I've heard this discussed on several other podcasts. The Star Wars Book Report guys talked about it on one of their episodes. I believe it was the one when they reviewed Deceived by Paul Kemp. I read the Tales of the Jedi comics when, I don't know if it was when they first came out, but when they were put into trade paperbacks, and I liked them. One of the things that was interesting about them is that the technology was different and seemed more ancient than what was in the original trilogy. Like, I believe they had, like, power packs for their lightsabers or something like that. And, of course, there was a lot of differences because, you know, Jedi could get married and have families and all of that stuff. You play a game like KOTOR, which, I mean, I really enjoyed that game, but it's pretty much the same technology, and especially in the Old Republic MMO, you know, it's kind of a carbon copy of what you see in the prequel trilogy and the original trilogy, and doesn't seem 5,000 years older, and even, you know, the governments are similar and everything. So I thought it was an interesting take of Shane's, and it's kind of one of those things where I say, well, you know, it's a video game, a lot of it's done just because it looks good. Unfortunately, everything in Star Wars is taken as canon, and so people have to shoehorn everything into continuity.
Yes, let us all remind you, the planet Stewjawn is canon.
Go ahead and take a look at that. I believe that was just posted today. And
this is our big news and why you shouldn't be too upset that we're only doing a brief episode this week.
Yeah, and the big news that I mentioned earlier, next week we will be interviewing Expanded Universe author and all-around awesome person, Aaron Alston!
Hooray! Woo!
We interviewed Mike Sackpole a few weeks ago. We're going to interview Aaron Alston next week, so we've got our X-Wing authors all nice and tidied up as we go into our summer retrospective. So if you still haven't gotten convinced to read the X-Wing books, listen to the interviews with the authors, because the one with Mike Sackpole was really great, and I'm sure the one with Aaron will be awesome, and they're awesome guys, so don't you want to read books from awesome people?
You should want to read books from awesome people.
Yes. So if you have questions, tweet them to us or post them on Facebook or email them to us, post them on the blog, whatever you want. And we will try to ask as many questions as we can.
Yes, we will. Depending on the time constraints, we're going to get in as many questions as we can. So
yes,
tweet us your questions. There's a post we've linked to. We'll have it in the show notes where you can post your questions over on the blog. You can drop it on our Facebook page. But if you have a question for Aaron Alston, post it. We will collect them.
Yes, unfortunately, we don't have 8 hours to talk to Aaron as much as we wish that we did. So we will try to get to as many questions as possible. I believe that's it for what's new on Tashi Station.
Fantastic. You know, there is a part of me that's a little worried about this interview with Aaron Olsen because I'm afraid I'm going to blow out my microphone by laughing so hard during it.
Oh, you'll be fine. you'll be able to see him next week, so you'll get your laughing out there.
Next week? No, I'll be seeing him sooner than that.
Well, that's when I met.
But yeah, if you haven't had the privilege and fortune of running into Aaron Alston at a convention, we'll give you a little taste of what that wonderful experience is like.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So let's go ahead and move on into Fixer's Flash. What's new in our little circles of fandom? Nancy, what have you been up to since Thursday?
Well, it was the weekend, which meant one thing. I was at Star Wars Weekends. Yeah, Friday was a really fun opportunity. If you follow me on Twitter, you might have seen me complaining about traffic because there was a brush fire right near the highway, which closed the highway as I was leaving work, and it was not fun. So I got diverted onto Disney property and then came back to Disney property. So, yes, not a magical diversion. But the guests for this week were pretty much the same as last week, except swapping out Tom Kane for D. Bradley Baker. The other, Ray Park and Andy Secombe, were also there for a second week. Friday I got there around a little before 6 o'clock and went to Ray Park's show called Visit to the Mall, which he does basically like stunt demonstrations. And at the end, they bring up kids onto the stage, and he shows them how to do some martial arts moves. And the best part of it was that James Arnold Taylor's daughter was in the group of kids, and she was really adorable, just getting really into it. And then at the end, they got to keep their lightsabers, and she was so excited. She ran up to James, jumping up and down, and was like, "Daddy, Daddy, we got to keep the lightsabers." And he's like, "That's great, honey. Go stand back with the kids." Because he was hosting the show. And then I went to see another round of the Hyperspace Hoopla, which just makes me laugh more and more each time I see it.
The more I hear about it, the more I'm convinced Hyperspace Hoopla is Star Wars on crack.
It pretty much is. Yeah, it's utterly ridiculous and stupid. And if the Star Wars Kinect dancing offended you, never watch the Hyperspace Hoopla, seriously. Because you'll just want to kill yourself. Also, that night, I got to hang out with two friends from Twitter, Cad Bane's Chick and Fallon Skywalker. And they were very fun. And it was very nice to meet them and hang out and watch the hoopla. Saturday, when did we get there? Like a little before noon, I was watching the Jedi Training Academy, which is really cute. The kids have to fight against Darth Vader, and it's very funny because whenever they have Darth Vader shirts on, the Jedi Master is like, what are you wearing? What's on your shirt? And the one kid was like, my mom dressed me. So the master was like, oh, you're blaming your mother. So that was very funny. Then we went on Star Tours, went to the Legends of the Force motorcade, and we stood off to the side where the 501st and Rebel Legion turn off because I wanted to get pictures of them, which worked out very well because there was a Baron Fell cosplayer. And
that was amazing when you posted that picture.
Oh, I squealed a bit, and I tweeted it to Mike, so he got to see it, and I was like, the Baron Fell! And there was also a group of cosplayers dressed up as the Wolf Pack from Clone Wars. There was a Plo Koon and Commander Wolf and the other clones. So that was really cool to see them, and the Plo Koon was really good. He had the full mask on and everything. Then we went to the Behind the Force show, and then my friend had bought some Her Universe merchandise, so we went to the tent to get that signed. And while we were there, we got to people watch as little children were getting their pictures taken with some of the characters, because the line for Ashley is right in front of those the picture taking area. And just as a side note, Watching kids get their pictures taken with Star Wars characters is probably one of my favorite things to do in the entire world. The highlights included two little girls in Her Universe Princess Leia shirts running up to Princess Leia, and Princess Leia put her hands on her hips and pointed to the girl's shirt and was like, "Is that me?" And then she gave him big hugs.
Aww.
And it was adorable. There was another little girl who was like beaming from ear to ear and shifting back and forth on her feet when she was talking to Luke Skywalker, and he knelt down and got her picture taken with him. And so I snapped a picture of like the look on her face, and I sent it to some of my friends, and I'm like, "Is this what we would look like if we ever met Luke?"
I'm betting the answer is yes.
Yeah. There was a toddler, like, she looked like she was maybe two and like just learned to walk, who waddled up to Princess Leia, and she knelt down and took her on her knee and bounced her up and down, and I was like, "Oh my god, it's Jaina!" It was adorable. And then 3PO came out after a bit, and then R2 came out, and the boys who were next in line literally like had a conniption fit when R2 came out. And we're like, "Oh my god, R2! We're like freaking out that R2 just came out. And I'm like, "That is awesome right there."
Yep, R2, deservedly, most popular character there.
Yes. And then they have other characters all throughout the park. This was in the merchandise tent. But as we were walking across the park, we took a detour to go to the bathroom, and right near the bathrooms was where the Darth Vader setup is, and he's just by himself because, you know, he's Darth Vader. He gets his own spot. And so I was watching him for a bit and, you know, signing the autograph books, especially the princess autograph books, made me laugh really hard. And he does it with such an aura of fierceness. So, yes, those are the things I enjoy at Star Wars weekends. And, next week, the guests are Jake Lloyd, Silas Carson, who played Nuke Gunray, and Ki Adimundi, whose look before he dies is one of the saddest things in the entire prequel trilogy. And from the Clone Wars, Cat Tabor, Padme. So that will be fun.
That's a good lineup for next week.
Yeah, but the fourth week is going to be the best. So.
Ooh, what's on store for that?
Ooh, it's a secret.
It's a secret.
Yes, one of the guests is a secret. I'm not allowed to talk about it.
But, you know something the rest of the population doesn't know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, ho, ho.
But,
you heard it here first. Big secret.
Yes. But the guests, the fourth week, the guests are Michonne Boryaug, who is Aurra Sing, Jeremy Bullock, Daniel Logan, and from the Clone Wars, Nika Futterman. So that will be fun. I also, outside of Star Wars, I read a new book called Delirium by Lauren Oliver. It's a dystopian young adult novel told in first person with a young female narrator.
Boy, I haven't heard of any of those before.
Yeah, there are a lot of them right now, apparently. But it was a good book, but I don't know if I was sucked in enough to read the second two. I might get to them eventually. But I'm kind of, like, in a weird place because after coming down from Mage Worlds, I'm kind of like, when I look at every other book. So I've got Brian Young's new book, Operation Montauk, on my Kindle right now, and that's what I'll be reading next. And I'm looking forward to that because it's not young adult dystopian fiction. I think I might just be burned out on them, but...
You know, after we did our big Hunger Games marathon, I kind of need to get away from dystopian future young adult novels just because that one was so emotionally charged. I don't know if I could do any of that again anytime soon.
Yeah. So also today, when I do on Memorial Day, I watched The Last Starfighter because I can. And if you've not seen The Last Starfighter, which is an amazing movie, you should go see it, because it's pure cheese and it's fabulous. And, I just have to say, victory or death.
Oh, yeah, The Last Starfighter is one of those great 80s science fiction movies.
It's really good, and it's a total Star Wars ripoff, but it's good!
If you're going to rip off Star Wars, do it like that.
Yes. And speaking of Star Wars, it was a holiday weekend, which meant one thing. It was on Spike TV, so I watched.
Spike aired Star Wars on a holiday weekend?
Yeah, so I watched the original trilogy, and it was good, though, because it started on Friday, which was Star Wars Day, so good on Spike.
Star Wars Day. The real Star Wars Day, mind you.
Yes, the real Star Wars
Day. Not bad pun Star Wars Day.
No, the actual day the movie came out in theaters. And finally, in other news, you are interested in what I've been writing, and if you're not, why not? You should be.
Nancy's got a blog that has all sorts of neat teasers posted there. You should go check it out.
Hit. NancySchwartz.wordpress.com.
Shameless plug.
So I completed my goal, my first goal, and I finished part one yesterday ahead of schedule. Yay!
Woohoo!
So now I guess that means I have to start on part two and get ahead of
schedule. Oh, details, details.
Yes, and I broke 35,000 words, so yay!
I can't imagine writing 35,000 words as quickly as you have. I just can't fathom it.
Well, when you are done with school, we can chat.
One quarter left. Just Yay. Have to make it one more quarter.
So that's about it. Star Wars weekends and Star Wars movies and movies that are like Star Wars, and that's about it.
Yeah, you've had a much more interesting weekend than I have, I think. Oh, well.
What did you do this weekend, Brian? That reminds me of Seinfeld. Why don't you just tell us what you did this weekend, Brian?
Well, I will, okay? Yeah, this is tricky because, well, my week is normally dull, and we've now compressed recording into about 4 days. So I really haven't done anything of note.
Oh.
But I did go see Men in Black 3 last night, which was a surprisingly fun movie. Really captured a lot of the fun of the original film. And, oh, it was leaps and bounds better than the second one, which I try not to talk about and think about.
I don't remember that one.
The second one? Yeah. Yeah.
We've got some really good movies coming up.
All of 2012 has been this crazy year of extraordinarily high-quality movies. I cannot think of another year that's been this good.
I know. We've got Snow White and the Huntsman comes out this Friday.
I cannot believe I'm excited for it, but I am.
I am, too. And then the next, it must be Charlize Theron month, because the week after that, Prometheus comes out, which I am so excited about.
Oh, I hope it's good. I hope it's good. I hope Ridley Scott comes back triumphantly, and it's a fantastic movie, because, that franchise, well, they haven't explicitly tied it in, but come on, we all know.
Yeah, I'm probably going to have to sleep with the lights on for, like, a week after I see that movie, but it'll be worth it.
Oh, absolutely.
But you have something really fun coming up this weekend, so tell us about that.
Yes, Wednesday I am heading to Columbus, Ohio for the Origins Game Fair, a big convention primarily devoted to board games and card games and things like that, but a convention that also has a very sizable writer's track that's going to feature some familiar names like Brian Young and Timothy Zahn, Mike Stackpole, and this year's guest of honor, Aaron Alston.
Yay! This is why I'm growling at you in anger.
You know, I'd feel bad, except you're going to Star Wars weekends every weekend for a month, so whatever.
Yes, but I also got so sunburned this weekend.
Woe is you. I got sunburned. Hey. I'm looking outside my window right now. It's 62 degrees, overcast, and I think it just started raining again.
Well, my shoulder really hurts, I'll have you know.
Oh, yeah, I feel awful for you. I'm just getting burned and that lovely weather you have while...
Lovely
another...
weather? Ugh, please.
I haven't seen the sun in 2 weeks, come on.
Oh, that sounds like a song.
Yeah.
Is that a song?
I haven't seen the sun in 2 weeks. I don't know. It might
or
be.
Or I haven't seen the sun for something. I'm going to have to Google that while you keep talking about Origin. So go ahead.
Oh, the sidebars we have on this show. But yeah, the marquee event for myself and probably most listeners to us is a panel comprised of Tim Zahn, Mike Stackpole, and Aaron Alston talking about their contributions to the Star Wars universe and their future plans. Now, this is where the conspiracy theorist in me gets really excited. Probably for no reason, unfortunately.
Yes.
Do you remember future plans? Mike Stackpole, remember when he was on with us a couple weeks ago and he mentioned something that he was about to close on a new contract, but he couldn't tell us what it was?
I do remember that, Brian.
I imagine the odds of it being a Star Wars contract are slim to none, but that's not going to stop me from irrationally getting my hopes up that he will make this announcement at Origins of all places.
One can dream.
Let's see, I'm going to be there. I got a couple of my friends who are there. I know Tracy from Club Jade will be there. So if that announcement were to happen, you will probably see the Twitter sphere absolutely explode at one moment.
I expect a text message immediately.
You will get a text message, yes. Oh, and by the way, for coverage of the Origins Game Fair, be sure to follow our Twitter account because I will be using that extensively to tweet whatever is going on there. So little 140 character tidbits and pictures and whatnot.
Very cool.
So,
also,
yes.
By the way, it is a song lyric.
Oh, really? What's the song?
Picture, I think, from Kid Rock and Sheryl Crow.
Pictures of you, pictures
no.
me.
That
Wrong one?
Song.
Okay. gee, I wonder if Shane's still playing that Tosche Station Radio drinking game. If he did, he just took a shot because I sang on the show again. Sorry, Shane.
Oh, so yeah.
Yes, but Tim Zahn, Mike Stackpole, and Aaron Alston are also holding their own individual reading sessions where they're going to be reading some new material throughout the convention. I'm hoping that Alston might be reading some passages from Mercy Kill. Got my fingers crossed
cool.
for that. That would be awesome.
I wonder what Zahn will read. Maybe stuff from Judgment at Proteus.
So oh, maybe. Or maybe, you know, maybe that other Star Wars novel he's been working on that's going to be coming out sometime this year. What was that one about again?
I will tell you, when I was watching Empire Strikes Back and Han referred to Lando as a scoundrel, I was like, oh, 7 months!
So close!
And I got really excited when he was like, are you slimy, devil-crossing, no-good swindler? And I was like, oh, yay! And very excited.
There are not words to describe how much I'm looking forward to Scoundrels. There really are not.
There aren't.
And there's also going to be a 1 hour Ask Aaron Alston Anything panel.
Anything?
Apparently anything.
Well, I might have to give you a question to ask. Involving
yeah.
two certain characters.
And which characters might this be?
It would be Wes and Hobby.
Oh, he's answered that one. They like to cuddle.
I know. I wonder if they cuddle with Ketch.
Oh, we've just scared some people off from reading the X-Wing
books,
haven't we?
He's a cuddly Ewok.
He is. Again, you need to read the X-Wing books to understand the full hilarity of that.
Yes. And also, wearing an Ewok as a swimsuit is a felony in some planets.
Oh, that's one of the great expanded universe lines. Yes, it is. And something else I might do while I'm out at Columbus with friends, I might go see the Avengers again.
For
maybe.
The how many time?
That will be number 7.
Oh.
Yeah, 7.
Mara is barking about that right now.
Don't judge me. How many times did you go and see
That's okay.
Attack of the Clones or Revenge of the Sith?
I saw Phantom Menace 11 times, Attack of the Clones 10 times, and Revenge of the Sith 11 times.
Okay, so yeah, you got no room here.
Yes. But also, I believe there were much less... There weren't any other movies coming out that year that I wanted to see. So it was pretty much... Oh, what am I doing? Let's go see Star Wars.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure the cinema industry is going to bankrupt me this year.
Yeah.
Too many good movies. Entirely too many.
Yes.
I have a feeling next year is going to be awful. And I'm still reading Luke Skywalker and the Shadows of Mendor. I am pacing myself on that one though because I need plain reading material.
I can give you plain reading material.
Okay, I also have that in a PDF that will also be plain reading material.
Yes, but I laughed when I saw your tweet about, why did I not read this book sooner? And I was like, I don't know! Why, Brian? Why?
Oh, yes. Nancy
has... is my witness that I've been telling him to read this book for a long time.
And I'm finally getting around to it, and I hate myself for not having read it years ago.
I know, right? It's so good.
I mentioned this to another friend, but Shadows of Mendor is like this beautiful mashup of a Rogue or a Wraith book and Heir to the Empire.
Yes.
It's everything I love about the expanded universe condensed into a single glorious novel.
Yeah, and what I like is that all the characters are used well. Like, it's not just, like, shoehorning people in just to shoehorn people in, you know?
The plot is perfectly crafted around the characters rather than forcing the characters into the plot.
I mean, the rogues have to fly the battle. Luke is originally leading the battle. Lando comes in as a general, which he's awesome, by the way. And I'm like, remember Lando? He was useful and awesome.
So apparently Lando does have competence, which is why he did that, or whatever stunt it was at Tanab.
Yes. And Han and Leia are just, you know, fantastic.
Oh, the Han and Leia in this book.
Yeah.
And how they just go after each other. It's amazing.
It is, but then Han says, thinks something in the very beginning about how, like, he was gonna, he didn't, about how he him not deserving her, but he was gonna do his best to make sure she never realized that or something like that.
And it's the most Han way ever to put that insecurity.
Yes, it's awesome. And then, but just wait till they get to Mendor, because then it's even funnier.
Oh, yeah. I'm enjoying this book a tremendous deal.
Yes, and so all of you people, after you read the X-Wing books, you
should
go
after.
Read Mendor.
You need to go read the X-Wing books first.
Oh, yep, so I think we should skip on over to the news.
I suppose
we don't have a lot of news, because we...
Yeah, there's been like 4 or 5 days between our between recordings.
Yes.
So yeah, let's Fixer's Flash out of the way. Let's move on over to Deke's Dirt. What's new in the world of fandom?
Well, like we said earlier, there will be a new video game announced at E3. It's supposedly a new franchise, meaning it's not, you know, Battlefront 3 or Force Unleashed 3 or anything else 2 or 3. So I wonder what it could be. I know I am not well versed in the video games, so I'll leave it to you, Brian.
Well, I know LucasArts had postings a while back for both a shooter and a flight simulator. Given that this is a new franchise, as we mentioned, I'm doubting it's going to be a return to the X-Wing, the Rogue Squadron franchises, or the Dark Forces franchise. Mm-hmm. I honestly am completely in the dark on what this could be. LucasArts has not had a very good stretch over the last few years. The one game that wasn't really critically panned was The Old Republic, which wasn't so much their game as it was BioWare Austin's. But even The Old Republic has been struggling with subscription counts, and that game has really been criticized lately for really a lack of content. So if LucasArts is coming up with something new, and I don't want to make it sound dire, but they really, really need to knock it out of the park with this one.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what it is, but the chances I'll actually play it are slim to none.
I'll probably play it, but I feel bad for saying this, but I'm not holding my breath that it'll be a quality game.
Yeah, we'll see, though.
We shall see.
The Lego games, people still like the Lego games. Are those done by Lucasfilm, or are they done by
something else? I think those are done by LucasArts in-house. But yeah, the Lego games, of all games, have been the one franchise they've had that have been consistently high quality.
Yeah. We'll see, I guess.
Yep, but I see there's a little bit of Clone Wars news you've got posted here.
Yeah, I didn't talk about it last week, but I thought I'd mention it here. At Star Wars Weekends, they are showing a Season 5 trailer, and I believe you can also maybe possibly find it on the internet, but I will not link to it because people who record it are bad people. Because it should be for us only. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, so there's Season 5 preview. It really seemed to focus on several distinct arcs. Savage Opress and Darth Maul were featured prominently. Darth Maul is angry, very angry. There looks like to be some sort of battle and resistance movement on the planet Onderon, which is from the expanded universe.
Hey, more expanded universe legitimacy.
Yay! It's like whenever I go on Star Tours and I like to look at the planet list.
Yeah, the reader board.
Pick out the EU planets. And also the return of Death Watch, the Mandalorian group. That's, I believe they had one episode last season, Friends and Enemies, but they are coming back for a multi-episode arc with, what's the gentleman's name? I believe his name is Pre Vizsla, the leader of Death Watch, and Bo-Katan, which people may know as voiced by Katie Sackhoff, and she's supposed to have a bigger role in these episodes. I'm sure if you listen to the podcast, you all know my opinions about Mandalorians.
Mine as well. I think our opinions match here.
Yeah, but the Death Watch episodes actually look pretty good. And the thing I'm most interested in them is, you know, considering the whole Karen Travis controversy and people angry at how Clone Wars depicted Mandalorians and all of that, if they're, you know, showing a group of Mandalorians trying to overthrow Mandalore's government and, you know, reinstall the true warrior nature of the Mandalorians, it just kind of makes me laugh inside and just go, oh, if they actually do change, you know, how Mandalore is, all these people have got angry for no reason.
It's almost like you jumped ship too early.
Yeah, and even if that doesn't happen, you know, if Death Watch gets shot down or whatever, you know, the fact that, you know, the Death Watch is fighting against the peaceful Mandalorians is kind of, you know, a little too much like life imitating art, or art imitating life, rather. and yeah, it's those kind of things that just make me laugh, so.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like George Lucas wearing the Han shot for a shirt.
I get a little bit of meta enjoyment and amusement out of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think those will be interesting. You know, the one thing I don't like to do when they show these arcs is get all like, oh my god, this season's gonna be awesome, because last year, they showed a Season 4 preview, and it was basically the same thing, where they just showed several different arcs. They showed the Mon Cala arc, they showed stuff from the Krell arc, and I remember seeing Pong Krell, you know, for the first time and going, oh my god, that guy's gonna be awesome, and then, oh wait, he's a bad guy. So,
Were you as let, maybe not let down, but a little more nonplussed about the Krell arc as I was?
I like the curl arc, actually.
Did you?
Mainly just because I am in awe of Dee Bradley Baker.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that he was basically talking to himself the entire time.
Yeah. I thought that arc went maybe one episode too long.
Yeah. I think I liked it, too, because it reminded me of Jorah Sabioff. Like, Krell just kind of basically seemed like him. So, yeah. But, so, season 5, it's coming.
Yay!
Woo!
Do we have a premiere date on that yet? September, I'm guessing?
September something.
Okay, yeah.
I'm sure we'll find out later and let you know on the podcast.
Yes, we will. Let's see, we've got another Celebration 6 confirmation. Seth Green and Matthew Senreich will be there. They are the creative duo behind Robot Chicken and the team behind a mystery Star Wars comedy project we've been hearing about for a couple of years now. So you wonder, are we finally going to get some details on that?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. This is one of the other projects that they keep alluding to but never actually talk about, so...
That one's always gotten me to... Always gotten some head tilt out of me. I'm not sure what these two could do in this universe. I mean, I'm sure they can. I just can't think of something myself.
Mm, yes. Yeah, it should be fun.
Yes, they are two very funny gentlemen who will likely be worth catching at Celebration 6.
Yes. And finally, Jennifer Heddle did an interview with EU Cantina, and among some of the things she said, she discussed the possibility of Leia stories, which makes me happy. But she also said that if Mercy Kill does well, they will definitely look into additional X-Wing novels.
So you know what this means, people.
What does it mean?
You all need to go buy Mercy Kill.
I have bought Mercy Kill.
Pre-order it now if you haven't. Nancy and I have.
I have pre-ordered the hardcover. I will probably also get the ebook when it goes down to the paperback price. But
yeah.
I'm definitely...
Now, is Mercy Kill due out before Celebration 6?
August 9th.
Fantastic. If you're going to Celebration 6, go get yourself a copy. Aaron Alston will be there. You can have him sign the first X-Wing novel in 13 years.
Yes. And it will be glorious.
It's full of wraiths and funny things, and we will all love it to pieces.
Yes. Yay!
And yeah, that's the news and fandom for the week. And again, not a whole lot because it was a short week between recording.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and slide into Wormy's Works, our picks for fan work of the week. Nancy, what have you selected?
I like parody songs. And one of my favorites is Midichlorian Rhapsody by Jeff and Maya Bonoff. Some of you might recognize that name. Maya Bonoff has co-written several EU novels, most recently Shadow Games, and she and her husband have produced several geeky albums, and Midichlorian Rhapsody is my favorite song of theirs. If you haven't seen the video, there'll be a link in the show notes. It's hysterical. It's basically Anakin's story through the prequels, and it's just hilarious. My favorite lyric is, Boba Fett, was your father named Jango?
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so, and there's we'll also have a link where you can purchase the CD or just individual tracks on CD Baby.
Excellent. And my pick for the week is Bria's winter Selkoo costume. Now, you may know Bria as my bloody comic enabler, who I have cursed numerous times on this podcast over the last couple months. But you may not know that Bria is one of the most dedicated and talented costumers I know.
She is very good. I've seen some of her cosplay, and as I cannot make a costume myself to save my life, I appreciate her talent.
Yeah, neither can I. I just quickly throw something together, and she puts all sorts of care and dedication into her costumes. Really admire what she's done. Now, something I really dig is obscure character cosplay. So when Bria put together her Winter Selkoo costume, I knew I'd have to highlight it at some point. Check it out in the show notes. There's a link there. go take a look. It's a fantastic costume for a great and woefully underrated minor character in the expanded universe.
Yes. Yay, Winter. Yay, Winter. Bria.
Yay, Winter. Yay, Bria. And yay, Scoundrels for featuring Winter in that book. Hooray.
Yay!
So let's go ahead and move on into Trope of the Show. This week, we are featuring a trope called Deadpan Snarker. What is a deadpan snarker? TV Tropes describes that as a character given to gnomic, sarcastic, sometimes bitter, occasionally whimsical asides. The deadpan snarker exists to deflate pomposity. Wow, that's a fun word.
Pomposity. So that would be Borsk Failia?
Yes. Point out the unlikelihood of certain plans and deliver funny lines. Typically, a deadpan snarker is the most cynical supporting character. In most cases, it is implied that the snarker would make a good leader, strategist, or consultant, given their ability to instantly see the flaws in a constructed plan. More often than not, their innate snarkiness is the only thing preventing the other characters from comprehending this for themselves. In other cases, the deadpan snarker resorts to sarcasm because they're the only sane man. Now, where have we seen examples of this in Star Wars? I can think of one off the top of my head. You, Nancy?
Mara Jade?
Mara Jade might be the Expanded Universe's most well-known example of a snarker. And boy, does Luke ever need that kind of a foil in his life.
One of my favorite Luke and Mara exchanges is from Survivor's Quest, when they enter a darkened room and Luke asks, "How come it's so dark?" And Mara responds, "Probably because there aren't any lights."
Oh, you walk into it sometimes,
and
Luke.
And he just doesn't even respond.
He knows he walked into it.
Yes.
Another one, Ben Skywalker. Ben takes after his mom so much. She must be insanely proud. There was one line in Fate of the Jedi that I absolutely loved. He's talking with Luke after Luke explained some of his earlier failures in life, specifically the cave in Empire Strikes Back, and Ben quips, "You know, it gives me hope that you screwed up so badly and so consistently as a kid, Dad."
My favorite is the Wango Mitpool exchange, in which Ben asks, "We're choosing new names?" Luke says, "No." Ben says, "Oh, that's sad. I was looking forward to being Sparky." And Luke says, "Sounds like a name for a monkey lizard." Ben replies, "And you could be Grandmaster Wango Mitpool." And Luke's response is, "Not in this lifetime." To which I respond, "Why would you not want to be Grandmaster Wango Mitpool?"
We're going to have to ask Aaron about that exchange next week, aren't we?
Yes, because I just want to know, how did you came up with the name Wango Mitpool? Seriously, it's amazing.
I lost it at that line. Every time I read it, I just lose it.
Yes.
But another example of a deadpan snarker, Ton Fanon from the Wraith Squadron novels. We won't spoil that one, so you can just go pick up those books and read it for yourself to see why he fits in here.
Oh, yay.
Yeah,
oh.
We're going to get y'all to read these books.
Oh, and finally, Hobby.
We got that from Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, two fighters against a Star Destroyer. And I just picture all the other rogues facepalming and going, "Dude, come on.
Come on,
like,
man.
Try to be cool in front of the princess, really."
Oh, and Starfighters of Audumar, the ninth book in the X-Wing series. That's pretty much every line from him is deadpan snark. It's fantastic.
Yeah, he's just basically like, "Why am I here? What am I doing? You people are all going to get me killed, aren't you?"
They've sure tried to.
Yeah.
Maybe it's his bad luck that he keeps surviving.
Poor Hobby. Yes.
Well, that actually brings us to the end of our show. Thanks for tuning in for another episode. You can find us on Twitter with the handle @Tashi_Station. That is our official show account. You can find Nancy with @NancyPants. And you can find me with @LaneWinry, LaneWinree, on Facebook. We are the Tashi Station Network. We are available on the iTunes Store and the Zune Marketplace. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review. It does help us grow the show. You can find both of our columns at Tashi-Station.net. That is the official show, or that is the official blog for the show. Thank you for tuning in, and we will catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by Solo Sound as the official podcast of ToshiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are the property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Toshi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.